This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Financial Opportunity Centers are one-stop neighborhood-based centers designed to help working families and individuals achieve financial stability and economic self-sufficiency. And joining us to discuss the effort to help people become economically self-sufficient is Ayanna Wallace, Financial Opportunity Center Program Manager with the Urban League of Greater Southwestern Ohio, and Sherwin Waugh, who is currently enrolled in the Urban League's Solid Opportunities for Advancement and Retention class. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Ayanna and Sherwin, thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Ayanna, tell us, where did the idea for these financial opportunity centers come from?
Well, the financial opportunity center is not really a brand new concept. It is kind of new to Cincinnati, but it is a concept that has been happening throughout the nation. It started out as a Center for Working Families concept, and it came through from the Annie Casey Foundation. They have a model where they believe that in order to have your client be the most successful, they really shouldn't just be getting a job. Just employment is not just the answer. As we've seen, many housing separate organizations across the country. You have housing organizations, you have organizations that just strictly deal with employment, social service agencies that may just focus on helping people eliminate barriers. And so the financial opportunities concept is kind of bundling all three of those services together to holistically look at the person.
Now, how many different services? What are all the different kinds of services that you have available?
And so there's actually three interconnected services that we feel are critical services. So it's the employment piece, where our clients would actually have an employment coach that would sit down with them, financial education and counseling. So you would also have a financial coach. And then you also have an income support specialist, which is kind of our income supports coach that kind of helps you over the barriers. You need food stamps. You need vouchers for daycare, that sort of thing. We have our team kind of working together in concert.
How many of these centers are in Cincinnati?
We do have four centers located in Greater Cincinnati. So there's three in Cincinnati, one actually in Northern Kentucky.
Okay. Sherwin, tell us about your experience with the centers. Is this how you got involved with the Urban League in the first place?
Yes, I couldn't answer for all the centers. I don't really like all the centers, honestly.
I like the one I went to.
I think the one I'm in is the best one for anybody.
Which one is that, Sherwin?
This is the Urban League of Greater Cincinnati program. They does have...
Oh, I thought you meant a particular community. I'm sorry.
Oh, yes. No, I was actually talking about the Urban League altogether, because they actually have branches broke out into like the Madisonville area, the Wanna Hills area, and I believe,
we're kind of taking our show on the road, so to speak.
Yes.
And so with the Hand Up Initiative, through Mary Cranley, we, put the SOAR program kind of on the road. So we're actually bringing these three services to the communities that we're serving. So we still have our on-site program at the Urban League, and then we are also mobily meeting people where they are in the communities. And that's actually how Sherwin came to the Urban League. He's part of our Hand Up Initiative program. Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's kind of better of an opportunity for the people that is less fortunate or not capable of getting to the original location of the program. So they're actually opening up fields so there could be more closer to the people that's not able to actually get bus fare or whatnot, or they're just not even, they don't have the drive yet. So it's like they're opening up a door to give them the drive. Like, okay, you guys can't do it. We're going to bring it here for you. So all you really have to do is walk. It's in walking distance. Some people are in walking distance. So it's a better opportunity for them to actually not have to reach as far, you know, because some people are so like not determined. So it's like they give up easy. Like, it's an easy way to give up. And they giving you an opportunity not to give up. Like, they basically like, yo, this is the chance for you. So like, take advantage. Like, and I hope everybody does take advantage of it, that actually does join the whole movement.
Well, how did you first find out about it?
Well, a prior student of their program had finished and he was speaking on it, and it sounded great to me, but I didn't let him know it. It sounded great though. I was just like, that sounds like something for me. Like, so with that being said, I heard about the location that actually was taking place in Wanna Hills. So that's not too far from where I live or my residence. So with that being said, I took initiative to go up there and actually hear the first meeting, which is the information meeting or information session. And the information session just was like mind blowing. I mean, you gotta be like somebody that just don't want nothing in life if you ain't wanna. It caught my attention sap. So with that being said, I joined the program and, you know, everything went on from there, from them actually showing me how to dress appropriately. Like, I have people look at me now that I probably would have thought never would have looked at me in life. So it's like a big difference though. And I love the outcome that I'm getting out of it. So I know when it's done, I can definitely say I learned something for this, and it's going to help me in my everyday life on to success.
And that's part of burial remover, removing. Sometimes, people will come into an interview and they're not appropriately dressed because they don't have the attire. That sort of thing can really make a difference as to whether or not you're hired. And so all of our participants are professionally dressed, and with the help of different partners that we work with, Dress for Success, as well as Free Store Food Bank. We also have our own gentleman's clothing closet to answer the issue that a lot of gentlemen would go to some of these partnering organizations, and there just weren't enough clothing for them professionally. And so we partnered with Men's Warehouse, and we were able to establish our own clothing closet to help our participants be suited. And that is a requirement of our class, that you're professionally dressed for the entire time that you're in the class.
So, Ayana, this is not just credit counseling and budget training, is it?
No. It's a little bit of everything. And so, again, it's those three connected services. As they come to the Financial Opportunity Center, we do want to make sure that they understand credit and budget and that sort of thing. So we have workshops to explain and teach those kinds of concepts, as well as one-on-one counseling. So we actually have our clients come in and sit down with us. We go over their budget. We talk about a short-term and long-term action plan. So we work with them. We pull up their credit report. We go over it. A lot of people have never seen their credit report at all in their lives. Explaining what is credit? How does it work? And we actually have a team of financial coaches that make sure that our clients are covered.
Yeah. Who's eligible to participate in this?
Actually, anyone's eligible to participate. Yeah. It's open to the public. It's free of charge. It's not income driven or anything like that, which is awesome. And the SOAR program, as well as our ACE program, but SOAR specifically, there's some life coaching that's also involved with that program. And I think Sherwin kind of attested to that a little bit earlier, but there's some life coaching concepts that are presented that, you know, you would be paying hundreds or thousands of dollars for that you can get right here for free. Again, we have private financial coaching where our customers sit down with us. We talk about their goals, and we don't set them. There are goals that they set for themselves, short-term and long-term. We talk about what things they need to do in order to achieve those goals.
What's the average level of financial experience, somebody coming into one of these centers? What's the typical person like? Where do they start?
It really does run the gamut. We have people from I live with my mom and I just graduated high school, in the springtime or, you know, the summer. So I'm kind of just getting my feet wet. I have never driven. I don't have a bank account, you know, nothing. My mom pays my cell phone bill to my husband and I are in foreclosure and we're losing our home. We've already lost a car, that sort of thing. So we're really seeing the whole gamut. I would say the average person that comes in doesn't really have a lot of assets yet. The assets that they have had, unfortunately, due to their bout of unemployment, are eliminated. And so they're kind of rebuilding and starting again.
Well, what would you say are some of the challenges that face working families and individuals in the Cincinnati area?
Ah, shucks. There's quite a few. I would say housing is a pretty big barrier. Rent is high. Even though affordable housing and there's affordable rents in places, if you look at the level of how much the rent is in comparison to how much people are getting paid, there's a heck of a disparity. And it unfortunately leaves a lot of people paying more than a lot more than 30% of their income towards their rent. We're seeing more in the uptick of about 45 to about 55%.
And 30 is what's usually recommended,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. But on the average, it's about 45 to maybe about 55% of your take-home pay that's going just for housing costs. And that's extremely high. And that really puts a strain on our customers. It also, you know, it makes it hard for the landowners as well. And then it's harder for them to have the money to repair if you fall behind. And then, you know, it just kind of cyclical. Child care is also another issue. I'll be honest, a lot of people don't know, but many daycare centers and daycare providers charge by the minute if you are late. So you may, you know, if your child has to be picked up by 5 o'clock, if it's 5:01, they start charging you $5 a minute. And we've seen some providers that actually charge $10 a minute, some that charge $15 a minute, that sort of thing, to just discourage, you know, families from coming in late and to be respectful of the teacher's time. But that also is a financial burden, because what happens is if that bill is not paid immediately, then the child is not able to go to daycare the next day.
So as far as what the center does, you're educating people on how to deal with these issues?
Exactly. Looking for resources as well. Sometimes people are eligible for daycare vouchers and that sort of thing, and they're not even, they don't know that. They're not aware that they're eligible for those services. And so we try to make them aware.
Sherwin, you mentioned you were one of those folks who'd never seen your credit report before.
No, I haven't.
So you were introduced to that whole concept through this. What was that like when
I actually haven't got there yet.
Oh, you haven't gotten there yet? Still working on that.
I should be taking care of that within tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it's this week.
It's definitely like tomorrow or Wednesday. I'm definitely covering that, because I just talked to one of my teachers or trainers today, shall I say. And we're definitely covering that field this week.
Yes.
So what are some of the other things that you've experienced and learned through this?
Well, a lot, because with my class, I can say we have a lot of different people on different levels. Mm-hmm. Like, you have a person that finished high school, went to college, got their degree, but they're stuck. Like, they don't know. Then you got a person over here that didn't finish high school, didn't never go to college, don't have a degree, period. So it's like, you know, it's kind of awkward that we got so many different levels in the same classroom. You got people that deal with emotions, and a lot of people get discouraged by that way, but they have the right trainers in the class. I promise you, they have the right trainers in the class for them all to be together in one room and nobody done broke somebody else's neck over or nothing. It's great. Like, 'cause everybody gets to actually mingle with each other.
Y'all and get along.
It's an understanding, and you know, understanding is the best part of life, you know, so it's an understanding. And you know, with that being said, it's just a great opportunity and program for anybody that's looking for a turnaround in life.
We try to talk about networking, and not just networking for employment, but networking for information. So mm-hmm. we encourage people to share their stories, to share their experience. If you didn't have a good experience with a credit card, what were your follies? What did you do to make and vocalize them so that other people in your class may actually learn from those mistakes? I may have never had a credit card, but I know that someone in my class said, shucks, they paid late and that was it. It took their credit, you know, down to the dirt. So I know I better not pay late. Those kinds of just simple kind of anecdotal information tidbits really make a difference for people. And it kind of sticks with you, especially when it's coming from someone that is a participant. You feel that they're in the same places and the same space as you.
So you're learning from your peers as well as from your instructors.
Exactly.
Okay?
And I'll say a lot of our trainers, we're not perfect. So unfortunately, we also have had some experiences ourselves, and we also share them, good or bad, as well, so that our participants understand that, I mean, we're human. We make mistakes as well.
Now, Ayanna, how tough is it to help people become economically sufficient?
It is difficult. It seems as when someone starts working, the moment they get employed, it sounds like every creditor under the sun now knows that you're working. So unfortunately, a lot of our participants find that the wolves start coming, knocking on their door, and we let them know that that may happen. Sometimes we have to adjust our financial plans because things have come out of the woodwork that we weren't expecting. So something like I want to go back to school because now it's a requirement for my job or to get a promotion. I'm going to have to go back to school, but I completely forgot about that student loan that I hadn't paid. And so now that my student loan is delinquent, I'm not able to go back to school, and it's kind of stopping me from moving forward in my career. It's financially stopping me because now they're taking my refund every year. And so how do we kind of get a game plan to move on from there? Well, now we have to address that before we were going to address some of those other issues. And so sometimes it's just a modification. We put our participants in the front seat. We want to teach them how to do these things themselves. So, you know, our clients and our participants, they don't come in and say, here's a bag full of bills, help me. You know, you got to open them. You got to go through them, put them in order. Which one was first? Why should we pay this? Those kinds of things so that people understand what they have to do. One quick exercise that we do in class is just a quick, simple budget. There's a person that doesn't have a job. He still has expenses. You know, what's his income? Zero. That's pretty easy. You know, what are his bills? They total them all up. What's his savings? Zero. And then now we've given him a job with the same bills, couple more expenses, and we ask the class to do the same thing. And then that exercise ends up taking 20 or 30 minutes.
Is that the most important thing you teach people, how to budget?
I believe so. Credit is extremely important, but if you cannot live day to day, month to month, then credit is so far, is a concept so far away from you. People are just trying to get ahead. And what we're realizing is, and there's a study that's kind of being done around the country, they've been looking at families for about 4 or 5 years now. And what they're seeing is people in very low to moderate incomes are experiencing about 5 times a year some financial issue that they were not expecting, and the cost is somewhere between $250 and about $1,500, about 5 times a year. And so if you find it, if you're that moderate income and you're finding it hard to save and say, well, shucks, I keep saving, it seems like my bank account's not going anywhere. Surprise, there's about 5 times a year that something between $250 to maybe $1,500 is going to hit you. So, and that kind of, I mean, that was an eye opener for me. I said, well, shucks, oh, yeah. Now I know why I'm finding it a little difficult to save as well as our customers, because, you know, you say you're saving for a rainy day, but you don't realize it's going to rain at least 5 times.
How can people get more information about the Financial Opportunity Center?
They can just call the Urban League.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Ayanna, and thank you, Sherwin.
Thank you.
Ayanna Wallace, Financial Opportunity Center Program Manager with the Urban League of Greater Southwestern Ohio, and Sherwin Waugh, who's currently enrolled in the Urban League SOAR class.